Anything for Her, written by G.J. Minette and read by Joe Jameson. Saturday, the 25th of July, 2015. The storm, when it finally arrived, was every bit as impressive as the forecasts had predicted. It was meant to materialise sometime around midday, and maybe that was what lulled everyone into a false sense of security, because well into the afternoon the skies were still clear, and any thoughts of hailstorms and 40 to 50 millimetres of rain within the first hour seemed fanciful in the extreme. "Typical Met Office," was the general consensus. "Haven't got a bloody clue." Except, of course, they did. Their sense of timing might have been slightly awry, but there was nothing wrong with their assessment of the storm itself. They knew exactly what to expect. It came almost literally out of the blue. The first warning shot was a stiff breeze which announced itself by ruffling awnings and newspapers, lifting skirts and skimming the dust and litter from the surface of the pavement. Then the clouds came scudding across like locust swarms, treacle black, thick as molasses, chasing the light from the sky and squatting over the West End like some malevolent entity, nature's literal 5 o'clock shadow. People were slow to react at first. There were a few puzzled glances at the shape-shifting skies as everyone tried to work out what had happened to the sun. Then a handful of nervous uh-ohs turned into a collective gasp as the first fat drops of rain began to fall. The effect on the streets below was electric, casual strollers diving for the nearest available shelter as if their lives depended on it, queues washed away in an instant. The rain and hail sluiced and skidded their way down the streets like mischievous children, puddles forming in seconds and inching their way towards each other to create a series of mini lakes as the beast of the storm breathed its fury over the scene below. In the foyer of the Prince of Wales Theatre, where the matinee performance of the Book of Mormon had only just finished, there was momentary chaos. Those who had decided to skip the encores and get to the head of the taxi queue had barely staked their claim when the first wave of hailstones swept over. A few resilient souls decided to stand their ground until a passing van, hugging the curb too tightly, sent one of the mini lakes arcing into the air like a rogue wave. This was enough to send them scuttling back to the foyer, where they were met by a solid wall of people coming the other way, as more and more members of the audience began to drift out of the auditorium and press forward, unable to understand why nothing seemed to be moving up ahead. Tempers were already beginning to fray at the edges. Amy was several rows back, and still a good way from the doors, but she heard the first crash of thunder all right. If it had been up to her, she'd have been happy to go off to the bar and sit this one out. They had plenty of time to get back to the hotel room and change before dinner. A few minutes either way wasn't going to make much difference. Unfortunately, Joe was cut from a different cloth. Joe didn't do patient. To be fair, he also didn't do crowds or confined spaces, but that was no more than incidental here. She'd seen the glint in his eye and knew that his real motivation stemmed from the element of competition, a challenge to the ego he simply couldn't resist.